Today I'll be reading from the book of Romans, the fourth chapter. We'll read the first five verses, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 13. So if you want to follow along with me. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Moving down to verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise, and that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. Paul goes back to the very beginning of our scriptures to help us understand about being right with God. And he takes the story all the way back from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12 is what he's talking about here. And he takes it all the way back to that point because he wants us to understand how to have a right relationship with God. And you see, our spiritual goal should be to live in a right relationship with God. No matter what we're doing in this world, that should be our goal over top of everything else. Living in a right relationship with God. Now, the problem is, what does it mean to live in a right relationship with God? And I know many of you would say it means to believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, but Paul takes this all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, where Jesus doesn't exist yet. What does it mean? Jesus has not come to the earth. He's in heaven with God. It's not that he doesn't exist. He's in heaven with God. Has not come to the earth yet. But we know from what Scripture tells us that Abraham had a right relationship with God. Well, how did that happen? Well, if we go back and we look at the story of Abraham, there's a number of things that happened in his life that we can say this is how it happened, isn't there? He was almost 100 years old, and his wife was 90. Please think about signing up for this, by the way. He was 100 years old, and his wife was 90 when God comes and says, you will have a child. Anybody signing up yet? So we can say, well, he must have had a right relationship with God before that happened. Because the angels who come and talk to Abraham say, God has heard your prayers. And it will be granted. And by the way, this is scripture. Don't shoot me. I'm the messenger right now. By the way, Sarah is just inside the tent, hearing what the messenger says, and everybody knows what she did, don't you? She laughed. How can I, at 90 years old, past childbirth age, how can I have a child? And the messenger says to Abraham, why did your wife just laugh? And Sarah says, not me, I didn't laugh. Does anybody remember the name of their son? Does anybody know how to translate Isaac? Laughter. They named their child Laughter. So if you know anybody named Isaac, that's what their name means. It means laughter. Because they laughed when God announced what would happen. But I want you to remember, Abraham's relationship started with God before that. Not at that point. And then we can say, as we walk along with Isaac and Abraham as they go to the mount, and what is Abraham supposed to do? He is supposed to sacrifice Isaac and offer him up to God. The child that God has already told him, through this child, you will become the father of many nations. And the part of the story that should break your heart as you read that is as they're walking up the mountain, father and son. The son says, Dad, we have the wood and we have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And what does Abraham say? God will provide. You see, Abraham was willing to let go of what he was told was the promise of a multitude of nations. But Abraham believed. Abraham already had a relationship with God before that. Already had one. It's also easy to say that, well, they were the first who were circumcised, and that's the sign of the new covenant. But guess what? That's a part of the passage that I skipped over reading there. Abraham's relationship was before that event. Abraham's relationship with God was before that event. Now, some might say, well, it's following the commandments, the ordinances, the statutes. It's following God's word that brings a right relationship with God, right? Guess what? Abraham didn't have a Bible. He didn't even have an Old Testament. The law does not come until the time of Moses. Hundreds of years later. So we can't say having a right relationship with God is about following God's commandments, can we? It's not true. Abraham's relationship started way before the law, God's word, ever came. Well, what is it then that establishes a right relationship with God? Because, I mean, I've met many Christians that say, if I follow God's commandments, God will do me right. And I can have a right relationship with God. No. You see, Paul uses the example of Abraham here in Romans chapter 4 to help us see that belief in God's free provision is the way. Belief in God's free provision is the way. That's the way to have a right relationship with God. That is, by the way, the only way to have a right relationship with God. God's free gift. Romans 6:23 says, for the Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. The unfortunate thing is that this gift is offered to every human being, but so few are willing to accept the gift or even open the gift. You see, it's only belief in what God has provided. If it's always doing the right things and following all the words and all the laws of God and following, and by the way, the Jewish people believe there's 613 commandments of God, not 10, 613. Do you know them all? Can you say them all from memory? 613. So if I keep all 613, God has to accept me, right? That's not true. It's about believing a free gift that God has for me. If it was by anything that I could do, then why do I need God? And why do I need Jesus Christ? If I can achieve my own forgiveness, if I can achieve my own salvation, if I can achieve my own eternal life by the way that I live, why did Jesus Christ have to come? You see, it all comes down to belief. Do I believe that God is willing to give me a free gift? Now, I know in our world, because I've seen this happen more than once, you give away something free, and people want to know why. What's the catch? Wait a minute, you're giving me this free bike. What's wrong with it? And I have found many times people won't accept a free gift. Charge them $5 for it, and they'll probably do it. Man, that's a deal. But give it to them free? A couple of Sundays ago, which I'm glad has disappeared, by the way. I don't know who has it, and I don't care. I brought down a free book to Growing in Christ. And I held up two books that had different titles on them. This is how I found out I had two books of the exact same thing. They had reprinted it and put a different title on it. Pay attention when you go to buy books, because they do that. I mean, it was word for word, page for page, identical. But it was two different titled books. And that's why you should read the copyright page of every book. Because on the copyright page, they tell you that it was previously published as this book. I held it up and I said, it's free for anybody who wants it. And most everybody was like, well, yeah, I want to read it, but I'll get my own copy. Like there was something wrong with my copy. It was just free. I don't need two books identical. And I just wanted to give it away to somebody who could use it because it's a valuable and wonderful book. But everybody kind of backed up from it and like, well, nah. People wanted to write down the title. People wanted to take pictures of it. People wanted to do all kinds of things, but they wouldn't take the free book. I told Deanne when we left service that day, I told her, I said, well, I guess Wednesday I'm going to hold it up again and say, it's free. Who wants it? By Wednesday, it was gone. So I don't know who has it, and I'm glad that somebody has it, and I pray that whoever took it is using it. Because it's an absolutely wonderful little book on the desert fathers and mothers. And if you don't know the stories about the desert fathers and mothers, you can talk to the people that have been coming to Growing in Christ on Sunday mornings for the last 3 weeks, and they can tell you how wonderful, wisdom-filled these stories are that are very helpful to us, even though these folks lived from 300 to 500 AD. They lived during that time period, and they lived way out in the middle of the desert where there's nothing. And you know what? I'm going to stop the story there. I'm going to make you do some research if you want to know more about the Desert Fathers and Mothers. Or come on Sunday morning. Or use the Lectio 365 app every day. And you will find out about the Desert Fathers and Mothers. And you can also, I'll tell you a secret. You guys like secrets? You give away secrets free. Everybody takes those. I don't understand. Here's a secret. If you can't make it 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, if you got the Lectio 365 app on your phone, you can watch the same videos we're watching on Sunday morning. It has a link in it. And if you don't know how to get that app, let me know. I'll help you. Deanne will help you. We'll get you set up. It is a wonderful, wonderful devotional app. Over the top. Oh, wait. It's free, so I don't know if you guys want it or not. You see, the only way we have a right relationship with God is believing in what God is willing to provide for us free. There is nothing I can do to ever earn salvation. There is nothing I can do. I can't. If I followed all 613 commandments of God, that does not earn me salvation. What did the rich man came to Jesus and said, Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, follow the commandments. Wait a minute, Jesus said, follow the commandments. And the young man said, I have followed every commandment and never missed. And Jesus looked at him and said, you still missed eternal life. Because things are more important to you than a right relationship with God that you can only have by believing and receiving what God's done for you. Now, let me go on a little bit with the Abraham story. Because Abraham lived a life of faithfulness and did act on his belief, but a right relationship came first. A right relationship comes first. You can go back. The beginning of the Abraham story starts in Genesis chapter 12. That's the very beginning of it. And it starts with God offering to Abraham a right relationship. And Abraham accepts it by belief only. But now, here's what I want to say. Once you're in a right relationship with God, there becomes within you a desire to follow God's commandments and to live the way that God asks us to live. Now, I don't think God's commandments, even though some of them are phrased this way, I don't think God's commandments come from a God that sits in heaven and says, now look, don't do that because that's fun. Don't do that because you might find fun in that. Don't do that. God's not up there about don't do things. God says don't do those things as a boundary, saying if you cross this boundary, things will go wrong for you. And I'm telling you that way so that you don't cross the boundary. I've set this boundary up around you, and if you will live inside of this boundary, you will be blessed. And by the way, it does not say that you'll never have problems. And it does not say that if you follow God correctly and rightly and all of the commandments, that you will be rich beyond belief financially. It never says that in any of Scripture. There are some that will tell you that. It's a lie. And often those who tell you that will say, if you send $100, you will have more money than you can ever handle. guess who's going to have more money than they can ever handle? Not me, because I'm out $100. That's not how living in the kingdom of God works. You see, I follow God's commandments because I want a stronger and deeper relationship with God. And I have this understanding that these commandments will help me to have a better life and become more blessed and know God in a deeper and richer way that will be profound and will be so helpful to living here on earth. That's why I follow God's commandments. And I follow God's commandments because I feel incredibly thankful and grateful that God would save a nasty worm like me. I know who I am. I know what thoughts go through this head. I know what ill things I've done in my life. I don't deserve salvation. Now, you'll have to speak for yourself, but I know I don't deserve it. And I'm not going to stand up here and list off all my sins. Because only one of them disqualifies me from having salvation and a right relationship with God. Only one sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't ever think that there's grades of sin. Ooh, that one's so much worse than the one I did. Boy, they're in big time trouble. No. Every sin separates you from God, no matter what it is. And by the way, Scripture also says that not doing what you know you should do is a sin. Failing to do what you should do just because you don't want to, just because it's outside your comfort zone, just because there's no just because. It's a sin. And because I love God and because I want to know God more, I want to follow God's commandments. But you know what? That all started for me back in 1981. All of that started for me in 1981. When I went to a revival in some little church somewhere around Blacksburg. I have no idea where it is. I wish I did, because I would love to go visit that church again. I have no idea. I rode with somebody else. They took me there. They said, "Will you go to revival with us?" I went to revival. I found out that it was a Pentecostal holiness church. And at that age in my life, I had no idea what that meant. And I had no idea what was going to happen during the service, because I weren't church folk. I did not grow up in church. And I remember the evangelist speaking that night, and I came forward and I knelt at the altar and I said, "God, I give you my life. And I know it's only through you that I will have salvation and eternal life. There is no other way." You see, I hadn't done anything to receive it. And I want to tell you, that night, a peace came over me like never before. Things were happening in that church that I didn't understand that night. But I know that I met God. And I know that God called me to follow Jesus Christ. And there is no doubt in my mind. And it was a total, complete, free gift. I didn't even have any money to put in the offering plate, I don't think. I was a poor college student. Nothing. And since that day, I've tried to live the relationship that God wants me to live. And that means I'm willing to do good works. That means I'm willing to sacrifice things. That means I'm willing to set aside some of my desires that I have. That means that I've changed my life. I will be quite honest with you. The person that I was before I became to Jesus Christ, you would not like. Because it was a completely different person, and it was a completely different personality. I am who I am because of what God has done for me. And I follow the path that I follow. So, right relationship happened first. You know, many people, and I've already talked about this, many people have a problem accepting free items. Yet this is the only way to salvation. There is no other way. I have to accept the free gift of what Jesus Christ did for me by dying on the cross. There is no other way. Jesus even says that on his last night. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 14, verse 6. I strongly encourage you to memorize that verse. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through what Jesus Christ did for me, that's the only way. And it's a free gift. So I'm going to ask you, are you about works righteousness or belief in a free gift from God? And trust me, the gift looks beautiful. And for those of you that need to have a beautifully wrapped gift, this is the most beautifully wrapped gift I've ever received. But you know what? It didn't do me any good until I ripped the paper and bow off and opened the box and took it in. It didn't do me any good just to have that wonderful gift in a box. I had to destroy the package it came in so that I could have a relationship with God. So if your gift is still sitting on the shelf because, oh, it's so pretty, it's time to open it up and use it. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come to you and we do understand that salvation is a free gift. And that there is no other way to you except through the free gift that you've given us. So, Lord, as we take a moment to consider what you've done for us, help us to clear our hearts and our minds. And help us to look deep within our lives to see how better we can receive this free gift and live the life you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.